First and foremost, get me out of that. Get me off the worship team. I am the worship team. We're believing God for a worship team around here. Praise God. I had someone text me today and say they're believing for a worship team. I took that as they're just believing for a worship team. They're not believing to get me the heck out of here. That's the way I didn't take it that way. But we're believing for it. Amen? We're believing for it. But how many of you know we don't let things like lack of worship team or lack of programs or whatever it is sway us? Jesus didn't have a worship team. You know, I say this because in the American church in 2020, there's a lot of people that have wrong focus. And, you know, if there's not a smoke and light show and rock and roll worship for half an hour to 45 minutes, a lot of people don't want to stick around. But Apostle Paul didn't travel with a worship team. Amen. There was no mention of how good the nursery was or how good the children's church was in Jesus' time. It was the word that saved people. It was the word that helped people. And so no doubt all these other things are good and we're believing for things. It would help us and help me to have a worship team. So we're believing for that. But keep your eye on the prize, amen, which is the word of God. But we're going to get into it today. You're going to leave fed. You're going to be so full of the word when you leave here. You're going to want to just go out and find 10 devils just to give them black eyes, amen. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Romans 15 and verse 13. Praise the Lord. This service is going to help you so much. And you know, one thing that's been such a blessing to be able to be a pastor is to really help people where they're at, where they live, you know. And you know, I don't have a ministry on the end times. But you know what? The end times really isn't going to help you very much right now. I mean, the end times, I see the end times, the book of Revelation. We're not here to, you know, I'm not down on anybody that does, because there's definitely, that's biblical, obviously. But I'm not here to teach you on the Levitical priesthood and, you know, the law, the Old Testament law. I'm here to help you with what's going to help you be victorious and successful. That's my ministry, amen? Helping you where you're living. Again, I'm not down on any of those things. I'm just saying where we're at. So I'm excited because tonight will help you. But Father, we need utterance. We need boldness tonight. Lord, if the Apostle Paul prayed that, he said, pray for me that I may speak with boldness and with utterance, that he would speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Father, we don't need man's plans, man's ideas, man's philosophies, man's theories. We need words from heaven, Father. So we thank you, Lord. As I open my mouth, you'll fill it. I thank you bullseyes will be hit in every person's heart. Father, I thank you that words will be spoken that will take people to a new level. Father, we're not looking to a man. We're not looking to the name on the church sign. We're looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So, Father, we thank you supernatural things will happen tonight. Father, I'm going to say things tonight that are so specific to people's lives, things that I would have no way of knowing or to say except by the Holy Ghost. And Father, it'll be a sign unto people that this is a place where they can come and hear from heaven, where they can come and grow and be in a safe environment where they know God is talking to them. So Father, show up big tonight. We believe it. We expect it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Notice this, in believing. Well, what does believing mean? Believing means faith. It says, in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know me and what we preach around here. One of the main missions of my ministry that the Lord spoke to me years ago, he said that I'll major in the area of faith as far as the way we teach it. You know, we preach and teach on faith a lot, and we do that because, you know, the Bible says without it, we can't please God. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, without the shield of faith, you don't quench the fiery darts of the wicked. In Hebrews 6 and verse 12, it says you receive the promises of God through faith and patience, right? The Bible says this is the victory, 1 John 5 and verse 4, that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so we know it's our faith. We got to be skillful in the area of faith. And so when it says in believing, it's talking about being in a place of what? In a place of faith, in a place where you're pleasing God, where the promises of God can flow, where the fiery darts of the wicked one are being quenched, where you're overcoming the world, right? The place of faith. Hallelujah. But notice what it says is that he'll fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So when you're truly in faith, When you're truly in faith, you'll also be in a place of joy and peace. You are not in faith. What I mean in faith, you might say, well, Pastor Mike, I'm believing for something. I'm believing for my health to turn around. I'm believing for my healing. I'm believing for my finances. I'm believing for whatever you're believing for. Well, if you're truly believing that, you're also in joy and in peace. Because faith doesn't operate outside of joy and peace. Amen? We looked at the past couple weeks and some different things on peace. And we found in the Bible, when Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. But he told her something. He said, don't go forward the same way. He says, go in peace and be ye whole, or be ye continually healed of that plague. What was he saying? If you lose your peace, you're going to lose your healing. Why? You step out of peace, you step out of faith. You can't be in faith without being in peace and in joy. And so to say, I'm believing for something and to not be joyful and to not have peace, you're not truly in faith. Remember what we saw in Isaiah 26 and verse 3? We'll just look at that real quick because it'll lead us to what we're talking about tonight. This is going to, again, talk about peace here, but I want to talk about joy tonight, where we're going to go. And if you need to, you go back online and check out the archives and go ahead and see one. Because I'll tell you what, it is so common in America and in life to be a worrywart. That's normal life. I mean, it's abnormal if you don't, but Jesus told you not to worry. He said, don't. He said, be anxious for what? Nothing. He said in Matthew, take no thought for your life. It's actually, remember the Bible says, anything outside of faith is sin. Worry's actually a sin, and we don't treat it like that, right? But we need to treat it like that because it'll hurt your life. We looked at that a few weeks ago. I don't want to rehash that message, but Isaiah 26:3 says this, thou or God, you will keep him, the person, in perfect peace. But notice this, it doesn't go on to say whose bills are all paid and checkbook is full, whose doctor's report, clean bill of health, whose all their I's are dotted and T's are crossed in life. No, it says perfect peace is not based on circumstance. Perfect peace is not based on situations. It's not based on an amount of money. It's not based on a doctor's report. He says perfect peace because you know what people always say? When this happens, then I'll be. If this happened, but let me tell you something. God told you to enjoy and feast in an environment that absolutely tries to stir up a lack of peace. Didn't he say in Psalm 23, he said, in the presence of your enemies, right? I'll prepare a table for you in the presence of all your allies and everyone that's nice to you. And no. He says, I want you to sit down. I want you to feast. Now remember, he already told you, be anxious for nothing. He didn't say, I want you to sit there and be nervous and be worried. No, I want you to feast. I want you to enjoy me. I want you to enjoy my goodness in the presence of your enemies. Why? Peace isn't based on circumstances. He said, perfect peace, whose mind... And we looked at that your peace has everything to do with what you do with your mind and the renewal of the mind to the Word of God. Well, I'm here to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Joy is the same way. People say, well, I'll be in joy when the money comes in. Pastor Mike, how can you expect me to be in joy when I can't pay my bills? When this is going on in my body, when my kids are doing this, I can't be in joy. Well, the good news is Pastor Mike didn't expect it out of you. But the Holy Ghost, a.k.a. God, a.k.a. Jesus, did. Say, what are you talking about? Go to James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Because before you start getting that thought that the devil's going to get you, you arrogant little pastor up there. How dare you tell me that I'm to be in joy? You don't know what I'm going through. It's the same thing the devil tries to tell you when I tell you that the Bible tells you not to worry, and he tells you, how dare he say not to worry when, and then you fill in the blank with your situation, and what you do is you try to exalt your situation above God's word. That's the wrong thing to do. That's the wrong thing to do. The Word is your answer to your problems. Don't try to exalt your situation over the Word. But again, Pastor Mike, how can I be in joy? I'll be in joy when my bills are paid. When I'm healed, then you'll see a joyful look on my face. Oh, with that attitude, we may never see it. Because faith is not operating in that realm. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when all your bills are paid. When your kids are in line and doing everything right and everything's working out in life, there's no coronavirus, there's no talks in the economy, there's no craziness going on in the world, then count it joy. Then be in joy. No. He says count it joy when you fall into diverse, that means different, temptations. And you look at that word temptations, it means tests and trials. Didn't Jesus say in the world you'll have tribulation? But what did he say after that? But be of good depression. No. But be of good complaining. Nope. But be of good cheer. Count it joy when you're in the midst of the fire. Count it joy when you're in tests and trials. And people say, I'm in joy. I'm believing for my healing. You might want to tell your face what you're believing for, because it doesn't know yet. You might want to tell your attitude, your tone of voice, because it's not been told that you're in faith. You're hiding it from these things. See, the Bible talks about joy. That word joy means cheerfulness or gladness. You know, you think about this. If you're believing for your healing, that means you're believing for something you don't have. If you're believing for your finances to turn around, you're believing for something down the road to be different than it is right now. Well, when I talk to my kids about December 25th, a date that is not here yet, a date that they're looking forward to, even in the middle of when it can be summer and 80 and 90 degrees, I bring up December 25th. I don't see a sourpuss face. I don't see grumpiness. I don't hear disgruntled in their voice. What are they? Cheerful, joyful. Why? Because they are in expectation of that day. When you talk to parents that are excited about having a child, and it's 9 months away, and there's a glow on their face, and they're so thrilled, and they're out buying things, and they're getting excited, and they're talking about it all the time. Why? It's because they truly expect it to happen. If you truly believed you're never going to have to take that medicine again, that there's going to be a day you're never going to have that pain again, that there's going to be a day when money's not going to be a problem for you, what would that look like on your face? What would that sound like in your voice? But the truth is, a lot of times people aren't believing at all. They're going through the motions. Christianese, I talk it. It's a language. You ever heard people speak Christianese? Say all the right things, but there's no oomph behind it. Bad, because there's no faith behind it. It's just go through the motions. Oh, I'm in joy. Praise God for my healing. My kids aren't like, I'm real excited for Christmas, Dad. Abby today, this is a true story. Abby today, I was walking by her, and I was walking down to the basement, and she started waving, and she goes, Dad, want to hear my Christmas list? I said, nope, just kept walking. And she walked away. I don't want to hear it. But she's all fired up and ready to go, my little seven-year-old, you know? Expecting, enjoy. Shut her right down, you know? I don't want to hear that. Not today, on October 10th. Nope, save it. Why? Expecting. But we're not in, but a lot of people, see, that's why I'm saying, if you're not in joy, it's the same with peace. Why have you lost your peace if you're truly believing it's all changing? It's because you're not there yet. So we taught you how to deal with the lack of peace. Now let's teach you how to deal with the lack of joy. Are you ready? So he said, I want you to be in joy when you're in the fire. When things are their worst, when you're in the middle of the test and trial, I want you to be joyful. Amen. Well, how is that possible, Pastor Mike? It's not naturally, just so you know. It's a supernatural joy that he's talking about, right? It's a supernatural joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit's peace. You can't have peace naturally with hell on earth, but you can if you do it supernaturally. You can't have joy naturally when this, that, and the other's going on and there's scary things. I'm not denying things aren't pressing and things don't look a certain way. But the Bible, he tells you, I want you to enjoy. Well, you can't do that naturally. You have to do it supernaturally. And thank God he gave us the equipment through his word. So I want to give you what the Holy Ghost gave me, three mindsets to have to help you. Because again, peace is a mindset. You got to do something with your mind. Well, we got to do something with our mind if we're going to walk in this supernatural joy that he tells you. Now listen, if he tells you to walk in joy and you're not walking in joy, would you call that a sin? I mean, he tells you not to kill, and if you kill, you'd all say, that's a sin. He tells you not to do wrong things with your body, and if someone does wrong things with their body, say, that's a sin. And we know the wages of sin is death. Doesn't lead to anything good. So when he tells you, count it joy, and you're counting it all Eeyore, and you're walking around with that spirit, you're outside the will of God. And the wages of sin, all sin is just a step outside God's will, right? If God tells you to be kinder to your spouse and you don't, that's a sin. If God tells you to go talk to someone about him in the grocery store and you refuse to do that, you're in disobedience. If God tells you to be in joy and you refuse to deal with that problem that gets taken you out of joy, you are in sin. And it's not leading to good things. So I want to look at some mindsets. Now, before I tell you the mindset that you should have and then give you the word on it, I want to tell you what the joy robber is, or the joy thief for each of these. So number one, this first joy robber or this first joy thief of why in the test and trial, you're not counting it joy. You've lost your peace. You're disgruntled. You're not cheerful. You're not glad. Is because the mindset that is wrong, that the joy robber, the thief is that this, what I'm facing, is so hard, so impossible, so difficult. And we do face things like that, don't we? Where the mountain looks humongous, where it looks impassable, where it looks so rugged and rocky that you can't get to the other side. How many of you know the Red Sea looked difficult? Goliath looked difficult, right? The fiery furnace looked difficult. I'm not denying that. And that's the thought and the mindset you get. And what? You start to just set your mind on what? How hard it is. How difficult it is. How impossible it is. How incurable it is. How there's no hope, right? That's the joy robber. And because that's where your mind is, your joy has been sucked dry. Because how could you have joy when there's no possibility? When it's so difficult and you have no way out, how can you have joy? You can't. But the right mindset would be this. Now, here we go. Don't take this as me belittling what you're going through. I'm going to show you what I mean in the Word. The right mindset is, what I'm facing is nothing. Pastor Mike, how dare you? Well, let me show you. Go to Jeremiah 32 and verse 27. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And the only thing that troubles me and is too hard for me is the very thing you're going through." That's the way people act. God is saying, is there anything, you know what you're going through is? It's an anything. You've magnified it as more, but it's just an anything. He says, is there anything that's too hard for me? What's the obvious answer to that? No. What does Matthew 19 tell us in verse 26? With God, how many things are possible? All things. But a lot of people read that, with God, everything except for what I'm going through is possible. Nope. All things are possible. So when I say that it's nothing what you're facing, what I'm saying is to him what you're facing is what we would call small potatoes. You ever heard that statement? See, you need to start seeing what you're looking at through his perspective. I remember I had, this is a new vehicle example. And I don't even know when you get something new, you know, not that we're materialistic in mind, but we want to be excellent, we want to treat things good. And the last thing you want to do when you get something new is dent it, scratch it, scrape it up. You get that yucky, empty. Anyone ever done that, or is it just me? Am I the only one that's ever backed into the dumpster that's been sitting in your driveway for months? By the looks of your faces, I must be. But that that with a backup camera beeping at you, and as you get closer, it's getting louder and faster. Am I the only one? Because I've done that before. And you get that, oh. And yeah, you look at it, is it the worst thing in the world? No. But does it feel good? No. And you look at that, and I look at that. Now, I'm sure many of you wouldn't have the skills and the tools to fix that either, you know, unless you had a shop. But when I look at that, I look at it, it overwhelms me. I look at that, and I think, it's never going to be the same again. It's, how is that, how can you fix that, you know? And I, even this is stupid, but I even start Googling things online. How can I fix this? And oh my gosh, all this stuff comes up of words I don't know and procedures I don't know. I'm not very mechanical to start with, so it doesn't take too much to get me in over my head. And so all these words I don't know, processes and things and tools I've never heard of and tools I don't have, and I realize I can't do it and I get overwhelmed. So I call somebody and I say, do you know anybody that could fix this and make it look as good as, I have a number, go down and see this person and go down to them. I got great reviews, you know, they're meticulous about their work. So I pull in there and the person's already outside looking at another vehicle, and they come over to my vehicle and they look at it and they're walking around, they're looking at it, and they open their mouth and they've heard my nervousness on the phone of how, oh boy, I'm just, you know, letting them know how nervous I am about this and how I ruined this and that. And they walk around it and they look and they see it and they say, I want you to know this is minor. This is nothing. You know what that did for me? Somebody's looking at what I'm seeing as impossible and no way I can get over it and saying, don't fret about that. That's going to be no time at all. We'll take care of that. Everything you're facing, that's your Father's reaction. You know what he's saying? I know all the procedures. I have all the right tools. I know all the words to fix what you're facing. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why your mindset should be, this is nothing. Because that's what your Father's. And so you know what I did? Even though I'm not the one fixing it, I leave confident. And I drive home, and that dent in that hole that's there is not troubling me anymore. Why? I'm in full expectation. That's changing. Why? Not because I don't know how to, not because I can't do it. And it's not changing because I need to fix it and because I need to know how. Because there's someone that knows how. There's someone that has all the ability, and it's just a matter of time, and I got this thing, praise God. And they give it back to you, and it's like, I don't get it. And how many times has God done stuff, and you're like, I don't get it, but he gets it. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, it's like that person, I've told this story many times, you know, started getting into complaining about their money, and I tell them about God, and tell them about what God says in the Word and that God's a provider. And I'm going through scriptures of when it looked like there was no way and God made a way. And out of their mouth was, but Pastor Mike, this is the wrong thing to say to me, but Pastor Mike, I have hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan debt. They're in the medical profession. And they said that to me if it was in a text, there'd be exclamation marks behind it. There'd be the mad red face behind it. It wasn't a sweet way they were saying it. They wanted me to know, yeah, you're saying all this, but my problem is bigger than what you're saying. And they expected me to have my hair blown back and be like, oh, well, I didn't know. Well, in that case, And out of my little sarcastic mouth came the words, big whoop. Right? Something along those lines, like, my first words were, what's your point? As if your hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt has God chewing his nails to the bone. As if when they stood at the Red Sea, God thought, now what? Or when David was in front of Goliath and God's, oh, this is it for my boy. No, didn't move him. Why? Nothing's too hard for him. It's like when I brought that thing, they didn't bat an eye at that thing. Oh, this is nothing. We'll get this taken care of. Nope. It wasn't even a big deal. That's what your father's like. What if your mindset was that? Who cares that you don't know how? Who cares that you can't? He can. That's all that matters. Praise God. Number two, are you ready? Okay, the joy robber of why you can't count it joy and why you haven't been able to count joy is because you have the mindset of, I'm not going to make it. This is the big one, right? Of the mindset of this test and trial, or I'm not getting past this one. That's the mindset. But the right mindset, and you'll see through the word, through renewing your mind, which will help get your joy back. Because if you had the mindset of what you're facing, the first one of this is nothing, your joy would come back. Because my joy came back as soon as I found out that dent is nothing. It's nothing. Oh, it's nothing. Okay. Why am I worried about it if it's nothing? Why am I losing my joy if it's nothing? Second mindset that you need to have is, instead of I'm not going to make it, this is the big one, is I can't and I won't be defeated. Because you know what the devil's like? You're not going to make it. This is it for you. Oh, this is how, look how bad this is. And he gives you fears and imaginations of things that are going on in the present. Or let's be honest, he gives you fears and imagination of things that haven't even transpired. Has he ever been there? Yeah. Well, let me tell you something right now. To think defeat or failure is to think outside the boundaries of this book. It is. To even entertain the thought, I'm not going to make it, is so outside the will of God. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, go to 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Praise God. What if your mindset was, I'm not going to be defeated? What if your mindset was, this ain't going to win, I'm going to win? Your joy would come back. You know, I watched in 1993... told this story a lot. I got to go to the Bills game on January 3rd of 1993 to watch them play the Houston Oilers at Ralph Wilson Stadium, which is now the greatest comeback in NFL history. They were down 28-3 at halftime. They came out and Frank Reich threw an interception, and they were down 35-3 in the third quarter. At halftime, everybody that I was with wanted to leave. But as however old I was in 1993, I was born in 79, so what would that make me, 14 years old? 11, 14, 13, 14? I think I would, no, I was just about to turn 14 years old. I stomped my feet and kicked and screamed. I said, this is my birthday present. My Bills will not let me down for my birthday. We're staying to the end. And then they stayed through all the halftime, and that stadium was somber. And that stadium was sad, and that stadium was depressed. And then when they came back and threw the interception, oh, the fans started piling out of that stadium. Why? What were they convinced of? We lost. And because of that mindset, there wasn't joy on their face. There wasn't happiness on their face. But what if every single one of those people would have got a glimpse into the end of the game, and Steve Christie kicking that field goal in overtime to beat that team? What if everybody would have got a glimpse into that? Nobody would have left. Everybody would have been sitting there thinking, oh, just wait. Oh, Warren Moon, we got something for you. That was the quarterback for the Oilers that was tearing us up in the first half. Oh, we got something for you, pal. Oh, you just wait and see. Everybody would be high-fiving. It's about to get good. You know, when the Bills, after they threw that interception 35-3, instead of leaving and depressed, everybody would be high-fiving and saying, okay, now it's turning. Now it's turning, because they knew. Well, what if I showed you a glimpse into your future? that showed you that you can't lose, that showed you that you're going to win. Oh, you could start doing one of these in your house and high-fiving and saying, oh, things are turning for me. It's about to get good. Let me tell you something. You're still here with a heartbeat. The final buzzer has not sounded. The devil will tell you it has, but the Word tells you something different. Your choice who you want to listen to. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God. Guys, again, this isn't based on you, which always, say that word,
always
causes you to triumph. Do you see that?
Amen.
He said, always in Him, when you do it His way is always faith. The result will be you coming out victorious, not defeated, not at the bottom of the barrel, overflowing at the top, people. Now, notice the interesting things. He says that a triumph, that tells you He's not shocked that at times you're going to face some things. Didn't He call you more than a conqueror? Well, to be more than a conqueror, you're certainly going to have to conquer some things. But the Bible tells you right here, if you'll do it His way and go God's way, the way of faith, thanks be unto God. Because again, if you decide to be a doubting Debbie and not believe God, yeah, defeat will come. Say, what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Well, you know, He told you to bring a shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. If the general tells the soldiers, make sure you wear your helmet, make sure you put your Kevlar vest on, make sure you get your rifle, and make sure you get your ammunition, and you walk out in that battlefield with no helmet, no Kevlar, no gun, no bullets, do you think that general's going to look at you and say, oh, everything's going to be fine? And if God tells you, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and you decide to leave it at home, don't expect good things to happen. He told you to do something with that shield. Be in faith. So when it says, thanks be unto God, which always causes a triumph, the person who will always be in faith and choose the faith route no matter what will always live an undefeated life. Because He said it, I'll always. He said, He didn't say, oh, every once in a while we're going to give you a loss. No, He said, I'll always cause you to overcome in this. You know what that's the equivalent of in your situation? Because in your situation right now, it's halftime maybe, and it looks like hell on earth. And in your game, people are leaving the stadium and they're booing you. It's not working so well. That's the equivalent of people being shown a crystal ball into the future of the Bills game and seeing the Bills winning and jumping up and down and hugging on the sidelines, and the fans that did stay high-fiving. That's the equivalent of, that's what I just showed you. Here's a look into your life at halftime. I know you're in the locker room, and you're down and out, and you've lost your joy, and you're sad, and you're depressed, but I just gave you a glimpse. You're going to win.
Amen.
What does that do for your joy? Changes everything.
Lord.
Changes everything. Mark chapter 5 and verse 35. Are you stirred up tonight? I am. I'm in joy over everything. I am in joy over everything. Why? He told me to be. It's no longer time to be sad, no longer time to be depressed. It's no longer room for disgruntlement or discouragement. He didn't say count it discouragement. He didn't say count it fear. He didn't say count it depressed. He didn't say count it anxious. He says count it joy.
Amen.
And when you know you're going to win, you can count it joy. When you know it's not too hard for Him, you can count it joy, praise God. But it's got to be the right mindset. Mark chapter 5. Let's go to verse 35. This was after He ministered to the woman with the issue of blood. He said, daughter, thy faith made you whole. Now remember, before He met the woman with the issue of blood, a man by the name of Jairus said, my daughter is at home at the point of death. Will you come heal her? And what did Jesus say? I will. On His way to heal Jairus, He runs into the woman with the issue of blood. He ministers to her, and so we pick it up in verse 35. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 35, it says here, while He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, which said, so someone's coming from the house saying, your daughter has died, why trouble the master any further? Now remember, the guy gets Jesus to have Him stop what now is being reported. You know what just happened? It was halftime, 28-3. And when you run into Jesus, that's going into the locker room and regrouping. But then coming back out of the locker room after being down 28-3 and throwing an interception, and they run it back for the touchdown, and you're down 35-3. You thought you regrouped when you met Jesus, but now it went from bad to as worse as it can get. And they say, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter is dead. Now remember, is there anything too hard for him? So do you think that when God is dealing with a sick person or a dead person, it matters to him? No. Nothing's too hard for him. Do you think dollar amounts matter to him? No, they don't. That's my point. He says, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter's dead. And look what Jesus says in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, who was her daddy. Because remember, God can't just do anything. He needs your faith. He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. You know what that basically is saying to him? What's he saying? Believe what? Believe that she's going to be raised up from the dead. Victory's coming. You know what he's saying to her? Don't even entertain the thought that you're going to lose. That's what he's saying. Don't even let one shred of this is how it's going to always be even enter into your mind. He's saying, just believe. What's he saying? Victory's coming. You know what 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 is? Victory's coming, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I'm a Michael Jordan fan. His mentality is just the way. And I've just read things about him because, you know, there's things, of course, with his life, but there's things with everybody's life. But one thing about him, man, when they were in the 1998, his last championship, and they were going to the conference finals. And I believe they were playing the Pacers that year, and the Pacers gave him a hard time. In fact, Michael Jordan, I think, said that was one of the hardest teams he ever faced. And Phil Jackson, their coach in the locker room, was saying before the series, he was trying to just, you know, they call him the Zen master. He had sayings and different things. And he said to his team, you know, we have to remember that what we're about to do is a game. And in games, there's winners and losers. And Steve Kerr, who was on the team, now coach in the NBA, said that before Phil Jackson could even finish saying that, of course, Michael Jordan had a few choice words at first that I will not say from this pulpit. But the point is, Michael Jordan said, we're not losing this series. Phil Jackson was giving them trying to give the mentality like, hey, it's a game. There's winners and losers. One of us is going to lose. And Michael Jordan said, it's not going to be us. When he stepped on the court, he never entertained the thought that we're going to lose. When you get out of bed, the thought should never even enter your mind, I'm not going to make it. Because God already told you, I will cause you to triumph. But why has your joy been stolen? Because you're convinced you're not. Why? Because you've looked at the natural. You stared at what you felt. You've stared at what you've gone through. But he said, I'll cause you to overcome this. In Christ, he said, again, through faith. Through faith. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to remember who you are and where you sit. We don't have time to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 1 says that he raised Jesus up above all principalities and powers. Far above. What's principalities and powers? The devil and his kingdom. He said he raised Jesus up far above that. And so we look at Jesus and say, wow, Jesus is in a place of authority. None of us would disagree that Jesus has authority over the devil, would we? And all the enemy and anything in the world, Jesus has authority over everything. We'd say that. But then the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 5, and you have been raised with him and made to sit together in heavenly places. Where? Far above. In a place of victory. But we forget who we are. Did those fans forget that they were dealing with a team that just went to 3 straight Super Bowls? Because I didn't forget it. Which is why I was so shocked every time they lost the Super Bowl, because I just, you know what the Bills stand for, Bills. Boy, I love losing Super Bowls. That's what they tell me it stands for. And I think they'd be right. But we didn't love it. But anyways, how could you have this mentality? You have Christ. You've been given words of promise. Amen. You ready for number three? We got to get this wrapped up here. Number three, the joy robber is, it kind of, some of these interchange, but we need to have different mindsets. This is never going to end. It's going on forever and ever. It's my new normal. This is ruining my life. But listen to this. The mindset that will bring your joy back is, what I'm facing is going to lead to something so much better for me. Now that sounds like pie in the sky, but if it's biblical, it's truth, the Word of God. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Notice this, that the trial of your faith. Remember when Peter said, beloved, don't think it strange, the fiery trial that you're now in. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus promised you tests and trials. Listen, if you're going to contend for anything in life and go after God and go try to get more from Him, stop being alarmed at the opposition at the doorway. Oh, the devil's going to be like, oh, they're serious now. They're starting to confess and they're in their word. I'm just going to lay down. No. He's going to be at the door to keep you out of what you're trying to get into. He's going to try to keep you out. Well, it says the trial of your faith. Your faith's going to be on trial. Being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, he likens your trial to gold going through the fire process. Now, what happens? Why does the gold go through the fire process? To refine the gold. It goes through the refiner's fire. Why do they put the gold through the fire? To burn off all the impurities. To burn off all the wrong that's on there. And what? The hotter the fire, the more pure and refined and better the gold comes out. And he likens the trial of your faith to being like gold. Being what? Yeah, you're in the trial of your life. But what's it going to be like when you come out of that trial? Oh, man. You know why the devil in Mark chapter 4 kicked up a storm on the middle of the lake? Because on the other side of that trial was deliverance for a demoniac. The Gadarene demoniac who cut himself and was bound by chains and no man could help him. And Jesus had to get to the other side, but there was a storm. And the storm rose up and the disciples thought, we're dead. But Jesus said, no, when we come through this fire, there's going to be some things that are going to be changed and helped. And there was, praise God. Go to James chapter 1 and verse 2. Excuse me, James chapter 1 and verse 2. What if you were just silly enough to believe the Bible tonight? And that no matter what you're facing, instead of you trying to rush it out the door, being so mad that you're going through it, so just in discouragement and woe is me, you'd start thinking, oh. When I come out of this, oh boy, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be more dangerous than ever before. That's what the Bible says. James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various tests and trials. Verse 3, knowing this. If you know this, you can count it joy. That the trying or the testing of your faith worketh, that word worketh means produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work. See what's happening in that patience that you hate, and your thought is this, it's taking forever. But we know the longer the gold sits in the hottest fire, it's the best gold there is. But where it's taking forever, get me out of this. Wait a minute. The longer you're in that, and the more that your patience is being worked on, the Bible says in verse 4, let patience have her perfect work, that you will be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. That's what happens. Do you see that? Now, remember this. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says, Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We know that it's not just believing that brings it. There has to be an endurance. Because once you release your faith, that's the starting point. Every single one of us in here can start a marathon, 26.2 miles. Every one of you can. But I am highly doubtful that the majority of us, if anybody, can run without stopping 26.2 miles. Who gives a rip that you can start it? Who gives a rip that you can walk out of a healing message or a prosperity message or a message that whatever you need, believe in God to turn around, and you say, okay, no matter what, I'm believing God. What are you going to do when 6 months comes down the road and nothing's changed? Are you going to fall out like some people do at the 10th mile? So what that you started? You got to finish. You got to finish. And it says, let patience have her perfect work. What is patience? Patience is the main thing in the faith equation where people fumble the ball. Why? Time, circumstances and situations happen, and time goes on, and nothing's happened in a year, nothing's happened in a week, nothing's happened in a month, and what? You're no longer believing. You're no longer contending. Why? No patience there. But this tells you that when you're in a trial, patience is being produced in you. There's certain things, ladies and gentlemen, I'm almost done. Certain things that you can't get in life without going through the fire. I'm going to tell you something. I've walked into some financial things. Okay? I'll go into some details on some things. I've walked into some financial things that only happened because I was willing to jump out onto the end of a branch. And then, you know, when you get out towards the end of the branch, it starts, you know, you stay in the middle and it's doing this. You get out towards the end of the branch and it's... The end of the branch is, all that's out there is God. That I've jumped out on, that has made people's heads spin because, not because I had the money in the account, not because I have a huge inheritance, I don't, not because my salary is ginormous, it's not. I don't even make what a teacher makes. I'm just telling you the truth after 10 years. It's not because of that. It's because I believe God. And I believed him, and I've seen him work so many times, and it refined some things in me that when opportunities were given to me that the normal person would shudder at and be terrified to even think of going that direction because of what the numbers say, I've jumped out onto that branch. And the only way and reason I got there was because I went through hell on earth financially and had to believe God for 2 years with no salary, pastored a church, with a new baby being $2,000 short every month. When you're $2,000 short every single month for 2 years and you're believing God for every single thing and you're not telling anybody about it, it puts things into you that you can't get any other way. That nasty healing or sickness that I went through for 2 years, an incurable chronic condition that you read about, it's so tormenting. People take their lives all the time because there's no let up on it. It's just, it affects your eating and affects your sleeping. Normal daily functions for me were absolutely flipped upside down for 2 years while I was pastoring a church, doing midweek services, showing up faithful, not taking extended time off, showing up and just doing it and doing it and doing it. That put something in me. On the other side of that test now, when I'm in it, is it fun? No. When I'm going through that financial test, is it fun? No. But I'm here to tell you, on the outside of that thing, there's not one thing I would change about any of those 2 years. Not one sleepless night, not one just writhing in pain, nothing. Why? Put things in me. What you're going through right now is setting you up for something down the road that's going to be presented to you that you're going to bust right through because why? Things are in you now. Yeah. Why did David stand before a giant and say, I'm going to cut your head off. I'm a teenager, and I don't have armor, and you're a skilled man of war, and you're giant. I'm going to cut your head off. Why? You want to know why? Because he went through the fire of a bear. He went through the fire of a lion and saw God come through, and it put things in him out in caring for his daddy's sheep out there and keeping the predators away. So when Goliath stood up to him, he was willing out of all the people, All the army of Israel was trembling. And Saul said, the one that will kill this guy will get riches, will get to marry my daughter. There was an opportunity for anybody. And the one that jumped through it was the one that was tried by fire in the wilderness with his daddy's sheep. So what you're going through right now, count it joy. Praise God. What's coming for me? Because there's been things that other people that are Christians had the same opportunity to move into that I move into, and they won't do it. They're afraid. They're afraid. Why? They're so focused on the numbers. No, no, no. God. I've been there. I've just seen too much. Been through too much. And that's what your trial is. You can't see it right now, but it's putting something in you for greater. Imagine if that was your mindset. Romans 8:28. We'll close with this verse. Romans 8:28. I can tell you so many times I've jumped with no landing under me, just expecting when I came down there'd be something to catch me. And it was every time. Praise God. But I was willing to jump. Why? Because I just knew. Why was David willing to stand before a giant with five stinking stones? It wasn't because he was skilled in battle. It wasn't because he had all the training. It's because he just knew what's backing me up. Praise God. You can only learn that in the fire. Do you think when Jesus went into the wilderness, he sat there and entertained the thought that the devil was going to beat him? No. He knew, I'm not going in this to see what's going to happen. I'm going in this to prove a point. I'm going to come out of this thing the victor. Praise God. Romans 8:28. What if your mindset was this, ladies and gentlemen? And we know that all things work together for the good, for the good, for the good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. All that relationship that failed, instead of blaming God and how mad you are, you might want to thank him. Oh, thank you, Lord. You had, and then when you move into the relationship he has for you, and you're like, oh, yeah. 26 months, we looked for a new house. 26 months. Put our house on the market because naturally we needed our house to sell before we could move in a new house, before we could even think about moving a new house. And month after month went by. And the thought was, what's going on here? This isn't working. What's taking so long? And it ended up, without going into the whole testimony, selling way later than it should have, but it coincided perfectly with the house that God moved us into. And I had said from the beginning, I want 1 week to be able to move out of my old house without having to rush. And we had exactly 7 days. But the whole time you're going through these things, you think, but do you know why when it wasn't selling, you know what was happening to me? Romans 8:28. You know when there would be a buyer and then it would fall through? You know what was happening to me? Romans 8:28. Now it seems on the surface, you're complaining, why is this? This happened to me and it went this direction. No, 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 no. When your mindset's this, I don't know how and I can't see it all, but I trust you, God, and somehow you're going to work this and turn this for my good. That's a faith person. That's a faith person. Hallelujah. You remember the, you know the shows, game shows, you know, where people are nervous. They say, okay, you can pick behind what's door number whatever, but what might be behind door number whatever is something bad, and you lose all what you have right now. And the people are what? They're so nervous, and they're just so, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I should go through that door. I don't know if there's anything good on the other side of that door. And they're just terrified, right? If they knew on the other side of the door was a brand new car, they'd go right through the door. If they knew on the other side of the door was a big pile of money, what? They'd go right through that door. You know why you're so terrified? And so, because you're not convinced that through this fire in this test is your victory. But that tells you it is. It would take all the fear and worry and anxiety out of it if your mind was there. Because naturally, but I just lost my job. Wait, I thought you, but this just happened. No. All things. Even when it hurts, all things. Even when it doesn't look right, all things. All things work together for your good. You can't see it yet, but you will someday. And what you are crying about, you'll be praising and shouting that it didn't turn out that way. Amen. We have people in here that could testify. You're telling the truth, Pastor Mike. Hallelujah. So what do you do with this message? You get these principles in you, you renew your mind to these things, and what? You get into joy and peace. You get into joy and peace. Until you're enjoying peace, your faith's not working. Until you're enjoying peace. I don't fake my joy. I'm in joy because I really believe these things. I don't fake my peace. Why? Because I really have casted my cares onto him. You didn't know this, but I'm the president of the I Don't Give a Rip Club. What is that? It's my new mentality. I don't care about anything. Nothing's going to trouble me. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care. Whatever. Whatever. Bring. Doesn't matter to me. I'm the president of the I Do Not Give a Rip Club. I don't care. I don't care. I've casted my cares onto him. He said, cast all my cares on him. So I just did it. So I don't fake my peace. I don't fake my joy. I've done what the word says to get into joy and peace. And guess what's working all the time for Pastor Mike? His faith. Always having faith triumphs and different things. Checking off my checklist of things I'm believing God for. Amen. Praise God. Well, are you stirred up?
Amen.
He loves us. Whoever put this $20 for me here, be blessed. I appreciate it. Father, we love you so much. We're just so grateful, so thankful for all you've done for us, for all you've given to us, for all you've provided for us. You are faithful. Lord, you don't want us to go around in despair, in discouragement, in grief, and in sorrow. You want us to walk around in joy. You want us to walk around in peace and not to fake it. We don't have to fake it. You've given us the tools to actually be in joy in the middle of the fire, to actually be in peace in the middle of our test. Father, I pray that people would be doers of this, that it would be branded in them, and Father, they would go forward from this place different. Father, no longer believe in the lies of the enemy. Believe in the lies of what they can see, what they can feel, and what they can hear, but only clinging to what you have said in your word. Father, we thank you for it. Can we just take a second to praise him together? We bless you, Lord, and honor you. We trust you and believe you for good things. We trust you and believe you for good things. We praise and magnify you. Thank you, Lord. Now, if I could ask a favor of everybody here, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, we're almost done. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, the answer is a 100%. Yes, I will. I know I'll go to heaven. And you might say, if you're watching by live stream or here, you might say to yourself, Pastor, how can you be sure that you'd go to heaven? Well, because I don't have to wonder if I've been good enough. I don't have to wonder if I've given enough to charity. I don't have to wonder if my good deeds outweigh my bad, if I've gone to church enough, if God's pleased with me. All I have to know is that I did what he said to do, which was believe in Jesus. He said, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight, you could say, Pastor Mike, or you're watching, and you could say, Pastor Mike, I don't know that I'd go to heaven for sure. Well, the first qualification that you need to have, there's two, is you need to believe in Jesus. If you can say, in my heart of hearts, I believe he was real. I believe he died and rose again. I don't understand it all, and it makes my mind go on tilt, but I do, for some reason in my heart, believe Jesus, believe in him. That's the first step. But the Bible says the second step is to call on his name. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, I won't embarrass you, won't have you stand up, come forward, say anything on your own. If you want to receive Jesus here tonight, believing's the first step, but the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe, you'll be saved. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus tonight? Would you just lift your hand high in the air? If you've never received him and you want to know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven, is there anybody in this room? Just lift your hand high in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. We're not trying to embarrass you or point you out. Is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus that's never done it before? If you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus? I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Of course, it's not the raising of the hand that gets one born again. And so if you're watching my live stream, say, you can't see my hand. It has nothing to do with the hand raising. So for that person that raised their hand, there's only one thing left to do. It's to ask Him into your heart. And I told you we won't embarrass you. We'll pray a prayer together with everybody in the church. But if you're here tonight and you raised your hand, or you know you should have, if you're watching by live stream and you want to be included in this along with everybody in the church, let's invite Jesus into our heart. Go ahead and say this after me. Mean it with all your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in You.
I believe You died on the cross.
And I believe You rose from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here before we dismiss. Praise God for that person that prayed that. Your next step is to plant in church and find a pastor. Hopefully you'd be called here, but if not, go where you're called and plant there. But God has good things for us, amen. And if you're watching and you prayed that, go ahead and send me an email or give me a phone call. I'd like to tell you what your next steps are to living your most successful and victorious life. But praise God, He's good, isn't He? Hallelujah. If you need prayer, would like prayer, feel free, come forward. Don't forget as you dismiss to drop your offering in the bucket. Let's go ahead and stand up to our feet and let's rejoice and praise God. Father, we love You tonight. We praise and glorify You. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your kindness and for Your love. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You are dismissed. Praise God.
We have overcome.
Margaret.